Well, don't start that, Tom. See? See, look what you did. All right, nap time. Well, good morning, everyone. I was paying attention to the back clock. Apparently, it's off. So, it's good to be back. We had a safe trip to Mexico. Thank you all for your prayers. We successfully built our house and made it back safely. So, this morning, we're going to be talking about entertainment, specifically movies, television shows, visual entertainment, basically. Now, I didn't prepare a whole lot of material on our topic this morning because I had a feeling that we might get a good amount of discussion, and I wanted to leave plenty of time for that. And I think that there's going to be some good discussion because people have different standards when it comes to this topic. Some of you may restrict yourselves from only, not watching adult films. Some of you may restrict yourselves at rated R movies, and some of you may not watch movies at all. And so I think we'll have some good discussion amongst each other, although our main antagonist is not here. Dave is absent. He labeled himself, so that's anyways. So what I want to do this morning is just give you some reasons why some movies may not be profitable for us as Christians to watch. And I'll just give you some things to think about, some scripture verses. And then we're actually going to watch a couple of clips from the movie Time Changer, the initial movie that I started off our series with. There's a very apropos couple of scenes in there about movies. And then we'll go ahead and devote the rest of the time for discussion. So let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for the beauty of the sunshine this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity to gather into your house and to study and examine your word and read what it has to say for us about our lives, Lord, and apply it to our lives. I just pray that as we enter this new topic, that once again, Lord, you would just soften our hearts, allow us to hear the truth of your word, and let us not take offense, but rather let us examine ourselves and change anything that we may need to change in order to be living as Christ. And I just pray that you would direct our discussion time this morning, Lord, and just let it be a blessing to us and glorifying to you, Lord. We just give this time over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so to start off, obviously, I thought we'd go to the extreme and talk about something that is pretty much sinful, and that is pornography. Obviously, that is a very big thing going on in the country nowadays, and I think it has to do with technology, the availability of it, with the internet and even cell phones now that connect to the internet. I mean, you can view that kind of thing at any point in time, and it is sinful. Pornography is sinful, and there's a couple of reasons. There's many reasons, but I just want to touch on a couple of them. And the first and the most obvious one is that the most obvious sin that's associated with viewing pornography is lust. The whole purpose of pornography is to conjure up sexual and lustful feelings. It's to get you turned on, and that's pretty obvious. But what did Jesus say about lustful thoughts? He said, "Anyone who looks at another with lust in his heart has already committed adultery." And so when you watch pornography, married people, you're committing adultery. I don't know if it's even possible to watch pornography without having lust in your heart. That is the whole purpose of it. So if you're married and watching pornography, you're committing adultery. Now, if you're single, obviously you can't commit adultery if you're single, but if a married person commits adultery by watching pornography, then I would go as far as to say that a single person is committing premarital sex in their heart when they view pornography. And we're going to have another discussion about premarital sex later on in the series. So secondly, the entire adult film industry is built around the sin of exploitation. And we talked about exploitation previously in our discussion about gambling. And this is perhaps done to even more extreme, and it exploits men and women to do things in front of a camera that should only be done between a husband and wife in the privacy of their own bedroom. And some might argue, well, how is it exploitation if the woman is consenting? You know, and okay, I didn't say that they were raping, although that does happen sometimes. I said that they're exploiting. And in other words, the industry is profiting off of putting naked women in front of a camera and asking them to commit lewd and sinful acts. And very rarely are the two people on the screen married to each other. In fact, quite often they're married to somebody else. And so that is the whole industry, again, is exploiting women to doing those kinds of things in front of a camera. And also, it exploits men as well. It allows, first off, it gives them opportunity to commit those kinds of sins, premarital sex, extramarital sex, and sometimes even acts that God never even intended to happen between a married couple. It exploits men into doing things they might not normally do. If you remember our verse from the class about gambling, and it's a very familiar verse, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some men are convinced to perform those kinds of things for the money. I remember just a while ago, I was actually helping Caroline search for a job online, and I was on the Craigslist on the jobs section, and I actually saw several postings and ads looking for guys that were willing to perform homosexual acts for gay pornography for money. And I'm sure that there are plenty of guys, especially in these hard times, that took them up on that offer and committed those sins that they would never normally have even thought about, and they used the money as the excuse. So again, the industry is just exploiting people. And like I said, there are many more reasons why pornography is sinful, and we could talk about it for quite some time, but again, I want to leave a good amount of time for discussion, so I want to move on to non-pornographic films. We need to be very careful of what movies we watch. And nowadays, when I say movies, just know that I'm also including in there television shows, because nowadays television shows are just as bad as some of the movies out there. Dad is always telling me about the shows of his time that, you know, how they were clean shows and they all had some kind of moral message being taught. Well, it's certainly not that way anymore. And the shows now are as bad as rated R movies, and TV stations are censoring less and less. So know that when I use the word movie, just know that it includes any type of visual entertainment. You could even include, theater shows like the ones they have down in Las Vegas. I want to show you a clip from the movie real quick, and Craig, and I'm going to ask you to pause it at a certain point, and we'll finish the clip later on. So just play the first one. And this is, if you remember, the movie is Dr. Carlyle is from the late 1800s, and he jumps forward in time to see what the world is like. And so this is a scene where he is now in present day, and he is actually going to go to the movies with a church group. He met this church group at a church he visited, and they invited him to go to the movies with him.
Which one is it?
TC Movies. Yep.
In the name of the Lord, there must be some mistake. You must stop this movie. This is an abomination.
We're going to finish the rest of that clip in a minute, but I wanted to show that because how many of you have ever had that reaction at the theater? I mean, really, as Christians, that's how offensive it should be to us to see some of those things that are taking place on the screen. So why is it so important that we limit what we watch? Well, I could go into all kinds of reasons like we've talked about in previous classes. I could say that we as Christians should be setting the example to the world and also how it can be harmful to our testimony if a non-believer sees us walking out of a film that we have no business watching. We've talked about those things in previous classes, and they certainly apply here as well. But I don't want to keep going over the same things over and over again. So just know that those things apply as well. And I could also talk about how by paying for a ticket at a theater, you are now supporting a Hollywood industry that is quite corrupt and quite sinful. And, you know, the whole industry is just chock full of sin. And a majority of the actors out there are just liberal activists who support all kinds of things and homosexuality and abortion. And they put down basically everything we believe in as Christians. But to say that you shouldn't watch any movies because you're supporting Hollywood, I think you start to get into becoming too legalistic. So, again, I just want to discuss a couple of things and leave it on your heart as to what you believe you should be watching and leave that between you and the Lord. So the main reason I want to examine this morning that we shouldn't be watching those kinds of films is the decay it causes within our hearts and minds. It causes corruption at the very soul. And as Christians, we need to always be cultivating a godly mind. Our minds should always be focused on God and on godly things. And that's kind of hard to do when you're staring at a 60-foot screen watching people getting blown away and every other word is a swear word and people are losing limbs in gory fashion and people are losing clothing in lustful fashion. The things you put in your mind are there forever. They're there forever, and you can never get them out. And Satan has a way of using those memories against you. It's the old saying of garbage in, garbage out. You know, so we have to be very careful of what we put into our heads. Let's finish this clip real quick. This is he's at a little gathering afterwards, and they're going to discuss the movie. And this is with the church group.
Thanks. Thank you. Mr. Carlisle, are you all right?
I still cannot comprehend how they could allow a player on the movie screen to blaspheme the name of the Lord.
It's not that big a deal, Carlisle. It's just a movie.
Yes, but to defame the name of our Lord.
It was a moral film. The guy went back to his wife in the end.
Yes, but to speak so blatantly against the name of Jesus.
Look, buddy, there's a lot worse movies we could have gone to see.
Then perhaps it is better not to attend at all if this is the only selection.
This guy must be one of those legalists thinks all movies are sin.
So it's just, again, it's interesting, you know, to see how we as Christians can allow those kinds of things just to kind of creep in and we tolerate them. And we're going to watch one more clip in a little bit that I think is an awesome, awesome clip that will kind of really give some good insight into it. But first I want to take you to some scripture verses, and the first one will be your first memory verse, and that is Philippians 4:8. Some of you may have this one memorized already, but if you don't, it is an excellent verse to place within your heart. Philippians 4:8 says, "Therefore, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So again, when we're talking about movies and television, we need to be putting those things that we watch to this test. And is it virtuous? Is it praiseworthy? If it's not, then we shouldn't be putting it in our minds. Why is it so important to meditate on the good things, on the pure things, on the holy things? Well, Luke 6:45 tells us why. It says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." So pretty simple. Again, it's garbage in, garbage out. What we focus on, what we continually pour into our hearts and minds, that's what's going to come back out. And so we have to constantly be putting good things into our hearts and minds. And that's why it's so important to constantly be in God's Word rather than seeing some of the films that come out nowadays. Or how about this one? And this is a pretty convicting one. James 4:4 says, "Adulterers and adulteresses." It's a metaphor referring to people that are unfaithful. "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now that's a pretty scary verse, because I know how easy it is to be friends with the world, and what that means is falling in love with the things of this world and becoming part of this world and the worldly system. And then if you skip to verse 7, it says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Again, this kind of goes back to the scripture we read a few weeks ago when we were looking at speech and how we cannot bless God and curse men at the same time any more than a spring can bring forth fresh water and salt at the same time. It just can't happen. It's one or the other. And so our hearts and minds are either on the things of God or they're on the things of this world. And according to this passage, if our focus is on the things of this world, and if our passion and our happiness is derived from the things of this world, then we're considered as enemies of God. And I certainly don't want that. Let me give you one more memory verse here. So write this down, and then we'll watch the final clip and then open it up for discussion. 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1. And this is an excellent verse. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Again, I think that we as Christians have tolerated so much that we've really strayed from that idea of perfecting holiness and trying to become perfectly holy just as Christ was. Now, obviously, we can't obtain it, but it's our goal to, and that's why we do the things that we do. So, again, these are just some things to think about as you go through your day-to-day life and are making decisions as to what things you watch, what things you participate in. Is it beneficial to you? Is it something that you should be putting inside of your heart and mind and that you should be focusing on? I'm going to show the last movie clip. And in this clip, Dr. Carlisle has met up with a woman that is a Christian. She works at a university, and he's asking her all kinds of questions about the present age. And she's being very helpful in their conversation, and she has something very profound to say about the movies.
Play it. last evening, something very shocking occurred. I attended a movie with a group from the church, and the person up on the screen blasphemed the name of the Lord.
Unfortunately, that happens all the time. Oh, I know, because I used to be in the film industry.
As a player up there on the screen?
As an actor? No. No, I was a booking agent for a theater chain. I was making all kinds of money, the whole package. But I was miserable inside, empty. And then one day, an old girlfriend of mine came by the office and we were talking, and I told her how I felt. And she told me that she felt the same way before she became a Christian. That she accepted Christ in her life and committed to follow him. And she was so happy. Oh, she also said that her life had real meaning now that she had Christ at the center of it. There was something about her. Something I wanted. The peace. The joy. So, I started reading the Bible again. I could remember some of the Bible stories from when I was a kid in Sunday school. And I always believed in God. But I didn't have a clue who Jesus Christ was. Or that he had died for my sins. It's a good thing God is patient. I finally asked Jesus into my heart and I never looked back. And then I met a godly man and married him and came to work at this library 18 years ago. My husband and I never could have our own children. But this work here has been a real ministry for me. It's given me so many opportunities to talk to people about Christ.
Bravo, Mrs. Bain.
Oh, well, I say all of that because when it comes to the film industry, I've been there and I know how powerful and influential it is to society. I believe that secular entertainment is one of the biggest tools that Satan uses to mislead people. He desensitizes us through it. Murder, violence, sexual immorality, you name it. Sin has slowly but surely become acceptable to us because we see it all the time, so it's no longer shocking to us.
But why were these things ever allowed?
Well, frankly, I think that Satan's smarter than we give him credit for. He's very deceptive. When the movie industry started back in the 30s, it was moralistic for the most part. There was a censor board that regulated what could and could not be shown on the screen, and movie makers were very careful about what they were portraying. And that's when the people didn't realize that the devil won his greatest victory.
His greatest victory? How so?
Because he got the name and the person of Jesus Christ out of the movies. I mean, the morals were there for a while. But the Lord himself was not. And as people became more liberated with their views, there seemed to be less and less conviction because there was no absolute authority. And that is why people can curse the name of the Lord and they don't even think about it.
But how can these movie makers so mock the Lord? Do they not understand that he is the one who created them and gives them their every breath?
Mr. Carlyle, it says in the Bible that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If people don't hold reverence for the Lord, what can we expect?
That's a pretty neat clip. And I think it's very, very true that society has become desensitized from sin to the point where they no longer view those things as sinful. And we as Christians, I think, need to be very careful not to slip into that same kind of trap and also not to be supporting that kind of thing. So, anyways, discussion. We've got probably about 15 minutes. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
First, I commend you for taking on such sensitive subjects, because I don't imagine it's easy being up there. And but even I noticed, even advertisements are sexually oriented. It's like.
Yeah, you'll be driving along and see a billboard of a woman in a bikini, and you're like, what is that even an advertisement for? And they're like, well, you see that pair of jeans in the background there, hung on the, you know, yeah, it's.
I can't even watch the commercials, much less the shows that they're portraying, because they take actual clips out of it, and it's so disgusting. You flip one off, you don't want the channel. It's just the shock value. Push the envelope.
Well, and again, that's because people have become so desensitized that they have to keep pushing the envelope in order to still give the shock value. See what happens when Dave's not here?
Yeah. Well, I notice, you know, over the years, you know, since becoming a Christian, and then as I grow, you know, the things that I look at today, even from 5 or 10 years ago, that didn't offend me now does, and that shows the growth of what the Holy Spirit's teaching you. Because, I mean, again, you talk about a personal choice and everything else, and it's just like anything. If you feel uncomfortable doing it, it's the Holy Spirit telling you. And as if you have a sit through movie, Robert and I went to a movie, sorry to say, the first Ghost Rider movie, I really liked that. The action, everything else, and kind of the storyline, everything else. And we're up in St. George, and Ghost Rider 2 was out. And we went and sat in there, and like, it was so dark, and so this PG-13, and the swear word, and you're just going like, what does it have to do with anything? And we just were so uncomfortable through the whole thing. It's like, why did we put ourselves through that? And at some point, you go, did that at that time, I'm not going to do that again. So if I see that or see reviews or anything like that, if there's anything in there that's going to make me uncomfortable, because basically that uncomfortableness is you're grieving the Holy Spirit. That's, you know, it's indwelling in you, and you're forcing him to watch that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just, I know we seem to be legalistic, but it's what you're talking about, that sanctifying walk and the growth of righteousness and everything else, we've got to take a stand.
And it's so much more difficult now because of the rating system is so out of whack. You know, you can't take their word for it on their rating system. And so I would encourage you to, you know, I try and go on and do a search. There's multiple Christian review websites out there that really analyze the movies that you want to go see, and it'll tell you how many swear words are in there, if there's any nudity, all those kinds of things, and so you can really, you know, see what it is before you go in there. So
there's so much I'm trying to organize in my mind, because there's this whole topic that has been huge, and the failures I've had, and the lack of love for my wife and in our home. I think the thing that tragedy, I have never seen pornography, but I remember when I was a kid and working in the market, and it was in the restroom and Playboy was there, and I still can not forget the kind of things that were in such an innocuous kind of a nothing kind of a, you know, nothing compared to today. All I'm saying is, with the bondage that I've been in my life, and the lack of love that I've demonstrated to my wife and children as a result of me focusing on me and focusing on the crud that is accumulated in my mind as a result of the foundation of the Playboy, and then you think about the years between young teens, and I, as the Lord mercifully saved me when I was 33, it took years before I recognized that the tell you, I pled to the Lord. Tears, whatever it took, I just, Lord, rid me of this trash. And I failed at it. That didn't come to pass as I had thought it would. But the key seems to have been two things. First, that the basis of our walk with the Lord and sanctification is dying to ourselves. And I can't love my wife, and I can't love my children unless, like Christ, I die to myself and become a servant, and I submit everything to the Lord, and then my walk is one of devotion to Him, and the fruit of that devotion to Him is the ability to love my wife. But how that ties in with the reservoir of filth in my mind that can still be there, the key has been that does not only stop watching it, anything that would provoke a memory of sensuality. Grace has been so good. My wife, Sharon, was so good. In fact, there was a time we just took the television completely out of our home because I could not handle it. In the intervening years, Grace watches some things before I do just to see if there's anything sensual in it. And we don't watch it if it has. And I don't think I'm that unusual. In fact, I can't. I remember at Men's Retreat, we had a chance to talk about some of these things. And there was a person there that just expressed how grateful he was that I brought that up, because he has been in that same kind of bondage, and I don't think I'm unusual. But the thing is, gals, as you have men that you consider marrying, you want to have them so that they would be repulsed by the kind of stuff that's on the movies today, and that you would be sensitive to the purity of their mind and their ability to come to love you. They cannot be men of God if they are not offended by the stuff that's out there. And so you want to avoid guys like me that have not grown as a man of God before I was married. And I guess the other
thing I was going to say, I'm afraid I'm sorry, it's just so disjointed, but it's just huge.
I think that pretty well done. But I don't know, other than the fact that it has been, before my wife died, we had almost 31 years of marriage, and I have grieved many, many times over the years I wasted, because my love was not for the Lord manifesting itself to her. Godly man, because I was willing to die to myself and let Christ reign in me, and me become a servant to my family rather than the guy that was the boss. My being a boss, I think, was making up for, in many ways, making up for the guilt I had for what I held.
Thank you, Tom. And I had just had a thought that hit me as you were saying that. I can't believe I didn't think of it before, but when I was talking about how the adult film industry exploits, it's not only exploiting those that are performing, but those that are watching it. It's exploiting, you know, our human tendencies to those kinds of sins. Yeah.
I just kind of find it really disheartening, as a child, I really wasn't a TV watcher, so it's like I wasn't exposed to those kinds of things. And nowadays, I look and I'm like, how did it lead to this? I don't understand what happened along the way. And then these are all kids shows too, with this bad content. So it's like, are they? They're just the exposure that they get and up to their high school years is just so negative, and there's almost no one to tell them no, that's actually not really good for you or anything, and they just think it's okay, and it gets worse and worse as they grow up, and it's
Oh yeah, they start numbing them at a very early age, and I know that I've had to watch, you know, what my girls watch and tell them they can't watch certain shows even on Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network. You know, it's awful some of the things that they're putting on. They're targeting kids. Yeah.
Yeah, you look at Disney. You know what it is today, and the shows that they put out.
Walt would roll over in his grave.
Huh?
Walt would roll over in his grave.
Just to show you an example, we were watching a special on Walt Disney and what a wonderful man he actually was and how he put together. And when he came up with the idea of the Mickey Mouse Club, and they came up and they had the storyboard of episodes, and there were 10 episodes, and one of them was the story of the talents and the story of Moses. Can you imagine? I mean, that was in the Mickey Mouse Club. So you go, you know, how far did we skew off the tracks today? I mean, some of the stuff you can't even watch at Disney, just the stuff they're putting out. Walt Disney would just be absolutely appalled if he saw what his company was churning out right now.
Absolutely.
Not contempt, just leave it out, but not contempt.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to get worse, too.
The other thing that I was trying to say is the major resource and that we have to deal with the flesh growing in Christ is immersing ourselves in Scripture. And it's been so neat that you're challenging us for memorizing it. Feeding off the word and letting the Lord, you know, just that one of my favorite scriptures is Philippians 3:10, that I might know you and I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Excuse me, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformed into his death. And just cherishing the fact that we can be dead to sin and alive in Christ in ways that only he can do. And it comes faithfulness, His Holy Spirit ministering His word to us as we're in it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure you've all experienced it as well. If you skip a day of your study, you know how easy and quickly you can fall away and slip back into sin when that's not your focus. Yeah.
In the movie, it's interesting when the lady's talking about, you know, she had everything in the movie and everything else, then met the friend, and she said that was something she that I wanted to go, is that the way people see us? Is that what we're portraying? So, just go being in the Word and learning that and discerning and just not putting that stuff in the head and everything else, we can become that person so that people look at us and they look at the world, look at us, and go, I think I'll leave the world and go to that.
Anyone else want to add anything? Yeah.
Just a thought, you know, years ago when I first became a believer, my pastor at that point in time had never been to the movie theater. And I know that his dad, the very first movie that he had ever gone to see, and I think he was in his late 80s at that point in time, was The Passion of the Christ. You know, the first movie he'd ever seen in a theater. And I just, I think it just portrayed, and I'll just say, for that reason, we very rarely go to the theater. We
we've been in a situation where we've been in the theater and all of a sudden with friends and something comes up like, you know, I paid $7 for this, I don't want to walk out, you know? But anyway, it goes back to the standard. You've got to have the standard of God and His Word, and you've got to maintain that standard. We listened to a sermon in Bible school. The sermon was actually recorded back in about the mid-80s. And he talked about how Christian standards change and how we've gotten to where we are and the degraded position we are, even as a Christian community. And he says we've left the standard of God and His Word, and we've become middle-of-the-roaders. And where we've got on one end of the spectrum God and His Word, on the other end of the spectrum pornography like you were talking about, and here we are as Christians in the world. Well, I'm just going to be in the middle of the road. I'm not going to go all the way to that extreme. Well, the problem is, over the past 75 years, the extreme has changed. The standard has stayed the same, but the extreme has got so far out there, and our middle of the road is now what used to be the extreme. And we've been, it's like you're talking about, we've been fooled. We've been tricked by Satan in being middle of the roaders. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not that bad, but where we are now is what used to be the extreme. So.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Okay. Well, thank you all for your input and discussion. I always enjoy that portion of the lessons. And I've got one more before the break, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So next week, I've got one more week, and then Craig has asked me to take a break for some other special...
Mission emphasis.
So we'll look forward to that. But next week, I get to start getting into some more hard-lined issues that are a little easier to take a stand on. And so next week, we're going to actually talk about homosexuality. And from there, we'll move on to various topics that are specifically talked about in the Bible. And we'll look forward to that, Lord willing. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for this time that we've just experienced reading and studying your word and discussing this issue amongst each other and fellow believers and just feeling the Holy Spirit working within us, Lord, and convicting us. I just pray that we would not just leave this topic here in this room, Lord, but that we would take it with us through our daily lives, Lord, and that we would contemplate it continuously anytime anything comes up, Lord. That we'd be constantly thinking about you and turning to your word for guidance and in what we should be watching and what we shouldn't be watching, what we should and should not be doing, Lord. Again, I just pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to work within us, help us to grow in you, Lord, so that we can feel those convictions and feel the strength that you have within us so that we can take a stand against such a corrupt world, Lord, and may we be an example to that lost world. May you give us the strength and courage to teach these same things to the lost world and use us to bring them out of bondage, Lord. Lord, I just pray now as we dismiss and head to our regular service, I pray that you would bless that time as well. I pray that you would be with John as he delivers his message from your word. And I pray that everything that we would do today and every single day of our lives, Lord, would be glorifying to you. And it's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.